Welcome, saints, and good morning. What a wonderful day to be here. What a beautiful morning it is. We were out at the wedding on Friday and recognized, wow, this is the first day I've been cold since May. So it was incredible. And just to give acknowledgement, you know, there was a lot that went on this weekend. We did have the wedding Friday, and then there was an outside wedding, not from this body of Christ, that was here Saturday. There's a Lieber wedding. There's about 300 people here. There was a baby shower yesterday, and I was just overwhelmed and encouraged by the body of Christ and how it serves the body of Christ and how many people were involved in all the events that went on this weekend and just serving each other. And I just wanted to acknowledge that, appreciate that this church family serves one another, and I was truly blessed by being at that wedding that was here yesterday. Just the family of God that's outside of us. You know, we're a big family of God. This is our immediate one, but the family of God, the body of Christ within our community, flourishing and growing and loving the Lord, just an amazing time. Would you open your Bibles with me to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Today we are going to take our third and final look at this passage. We've looked at it 2 weeks previously, so if you're here today visiting today, we're not going to cover everything we've already looked at, but we're focusing on this idea of welcoming the Word of God. You heard it in the message or in the worship this morning, in the songs, in what Brian shared, and just in our heart and in the Word shared and encouraged today. Just the importance of God's Word, of Him speaking to our lives. And what we've been talking about for, like I said, the third week here is welcoming the Word of God. Inviting it into our lives is what we've been talking about. Inviting it to lead and guide our lives, welcoming God's truth. I said it many, many ways, into our thoughts, into the way of our living, into the purpose of our living. And what we've been doing is looking at James and the exhortation here in God's Word and seeing God exhorting us to be applying His truths to our lives. Then what we've been doing is going back to 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 10, which we've studied this year. That's what we've been doing, going through 1 Corinthians as a church, applying this, asking the question, are we welcoming God's Word? So it's somewhat of a review of 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 10 and what God has been saying there, but with the exhortation and the question in our heart, am I welcoming God's Word? So that's what we're going to do. We'll look at James again, you know, and then go back to what we've been studying in 1 Corinthians. You know, it's good to be reminded and exhorted in this way. You know, God does that through His Word all the time, exhorting us to be applying God's Word. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:13, he said, I consider it right to stir you up by the way of a reminder. It's right for us to just be reminded, hey, this is what we've been learning. Are we applying this in our lives? It's healthy. It's encouraging. We heard it today in many, many different ways. So let's once again look at James 1, 19 through 25. You there with me? Here we are in the book of James. Here God is addressing, listen, this is what He's addressing, your willingness to receive, apply, do, welcome God's Word. Listen to what He writes. He writes this. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And we've talked about this, but in our text, it starts off with James saying, you know the power of God in your life. You know the power of receiving and applying God's truth in your life. I guess I could ask you a question on that right now and say, hey, will you share with me the power of God's Word in your life? The testimony of that when you responded to God's Word, when you acted upon God's truth and how He guided your life, when you just followed what God had showed you in His Word and His way of life. You want to give me a testimony? I could ask that now. We could go till the service was over. Of how, you know, as you know, God showed me to be faithful in this, and as I did that, God worked in that. I mean, we know the power of God in receiving and applying the word of truth to your living. First of all, Jesus Christ, the word of truth, the truth of Christ, and applying that, receiving that, believing that into your life, God changed you. He saved you. He reconciled you back to himself. And that's what James starts with. So we know the transforming power of God. You know, if you think about this church back then, it wasn't like now. We didn't have people growing up in a church family. 10 years ago, nobody knew Christ. 10 years after, there's a church where everybody knows Christ and the transforming power of salvation in the life. Nobody lived it 10 years ago. The whole body of Christ here is living it now. They knew what we were talking about. So in verse 21, we looked at this 2 weeks ago. So in humility, in a humbleness, in a recognition of your need of what God has given, that's the humility we looked at. Receive the word. Welcome the word. And that's what our focus is. In our recognition of that we need God to speak to our lives. We need God to guide our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, for I shall not want. Psalm 23, right? He leads me. He leads us through it by his word. He speaks to our lives. In humility, we give recognition, Lord, I need you to guide me, lead me, show me. I need you to speak to my lives. Help me understand. Let me know who you are, who I am. Let me know the truth of this, the hope that's in it, to trust in you, to have faith in you. God's word brings all those to our life. So we're welcoming the word. There was a condition to that in verse 21. For us to be able to really welcome the word of God. In verse 21, it said, putting aside all filthiness and it remains of wickedness. We looked at it that last week. If you don't lay aside any known sin, if you don't take it off in your life that you know now, if you don't, it will be like wax in your ears. We looked at that last week. It'll hinder you from hearing the correctness of God's word, or hearing God's word correctly, or understanding the application, and also hinder your desire, your longing for God's truth, for God's word, if you don't lay aside the known sin in your life. And we talked about that last week of confession and repentance and of turning from going this way and confessing, Lord, I agree that this is not how you want me to live my life. This is a sin against you. I confess, repent, I want to go this way. If you keep going that way, God's word says you have wax in your ears. It will help. You'll be hindered from hearing God's truth. And the wickedness there is an intent of your heart that you'll not long for the truth of God's word in your heart. And so as you confess and repent and turn, the longing for what God wants in your life through his word, the hearing of it, the applying of it, the correctness of it will come to you. Today we look at the last exhortation from verses 23 through 25. It's like this, being a doer of the word. Look at it with me again. Let me read it to you. It's verse 23 through 25. James writes, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and has gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Here he's talking about being a doer of the word of God. You see it in there. He's talking clearly. Now, you might want to write this down. It's kind of in your outline there. I think I wrote it down. Let me look at it on how I put that down. Yeah, having the spiritual attitude of a doer. He's really talking about your attitude. Your spiritual attitude, your heart, your life, your attitude toward what God's word and what it says. Think about your life right now in the midst of whatever you're at, what you got going on. Write down, what is your spiritual attitude toward God's word? Just write it down right now. You know, I'm just trying to receive it. I'm trying to hear it. I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to learn from it, trying to believe it, trying to trust it. I'm bothered by it. What is it? What's your spiritual attitude toward the word of God? I can take it or leave it. It's just not that important. What is it? James is talking to us about our spiritual attitude. We would say sometimes this, you know, are you obedient to God's word? But then we kind of get lost a little bit in obedience. I'm just kind of being obedient, you know, that kind of thing. It's what is the word of God. We want to be obedient to what God has said. We want to follow what God has said. But here's the thing. We want the spiritual attitude in our heart that I'm wanting to learn and grow and follow God's word. we can recognize I'm just kind of disobedient to things, and then what? I just need to be obedient to things. But what I want us to see and understand and grab from the Lord is He wants in your heart to work on your heart about your attitude toward what God has to say in this life. And if your attitude, if your heart, if you are there, it's like, Lord, I desire for it to be one that wants to do, that seeks to do what you want me to do. It helps you move on beyond just that word of obedience that sometimes we struggle with as humanity. That's what he's talking about here. Are you a doer or just a hearer? Your spiritual heart, your attitude will be shown. He illustrates it. He gives this great illustration. Now, I gave you in your bulletin a mirror. You guys all got your mirror? Everybody take off their mirror. This is a mirror, okay? This is what it was more like back then. They didn't have glass mirror perfect. You could see everything. They were more reflective like this. And so I want to give you the illustration. I want you to see what James is talking about. And he's talking about, you know, for if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And when he looked at it, he saw himself and he got away, he immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at yourself. Okay, get it right in there. You got to kind of intently try to look to see who you are in this one, don't you? You just can't hold it up and say, "Ooh, I'm looking pretty good. That's a pretty good picture of me." No, you have to kind of intently look. Go ahead and look. Any of you guys got some nose hairs? How about some in your ear? Okay, we got, you know, oh, my hair. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Some of the men today, we already recognize, they forgot what they look like this morning. That's what he's talking about. The word looked in the text is kataneo in the Greek, to think, to observe, to notice, to contemplate, saying looking and seeing carefully. Like I said, the blemishes or the things might that be out of order that, you know, wow, I need to shave, man, I need to pluck some eyebrows, however that would go. Seeing in detail yourself and then walk away and forget what you look like. Don't make any adjustments. That's what he's talking about. Just go on your way. Like I said, some of us forgot what we looked like, didn't make any adjustments before we left the house. That's the illustration. And he's talking about when you look in the Word of God and you look at the truths of God's Word and you see it and you see yourself and God shows you and he's reflective and he shows you who he is and who you are and he shows you your heart. And I thought of the verse, I can do nothing apart from Christ. I have to abide in him and everything. I can do nothing. I can bear no fruit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I can't do anything in my own strength. I think of those passages and God reveals to myself, to who I am in the Word of God and where I'm at and where my walk is at and what I'm stumbling over and where my thoughts are wrong and why do I go that way? And God is trying to guide and lead my life and I look intently at it. And then we hear the Word of God preached on Sunday or taught on Wednesday or in the Sunday school class and we hear the principles that are in God's Word and we hear the practice that's in God's Word and we hear the hope and the love and the goodness and the truth and all the things that God gives us in His Word and we see it all and then we just walk away. It's reflective of your spiritual attitude. And what I told you last week and the week before, the biggest thing is pride is our enemy. I got a lot of blemishes. I got things in my life that God is working on and guiding me and leading me. So do you. We're only beautiful in Christ. And that's the exhortation is seeing and welcoming. God's not hammering us and saying, wow, look at you. He's saying, here's my word. I know you. I'm your God, your Lord. And I want to work in your life for you to be reflective of me. It's incredible. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. He's not saying, oh, look at that. He's saying, hey, walk this way. It's a loving and caring and kind God. But we can hear it and do nothing. We can ignore who he is and who we are and what God says in his way. But look at verse 25 again, what he said. But The one who looks intently at the perfect law, God's word, God's truth. It's complete. It's perfect. It's the law of liberty. You've been set free. It's the law of freedom. Freedom from who we were and what we were, and freedom to be all that God would want us to be. And abides by it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. What an incredible promise. The Lord God himself said, you know, I'm just showing you, guiding you. And if you'll just abide in what I'm working in your life, if you'll just walk in the things that I'm showing you and guiding you in and teaching you, he said, you'll be blessed by him in all you're doing. What a great exhortation, isn't it? What an amazing thing as we've been looking through James and just being encouraged to receive, to welcome God's word. Now with that exhortation, turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians. We've already looked at chapters 1 through 7. We're going to look at chapters 8 through 10 today. Let me pick up my mirror so I can look at myself. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 10, which we've been in for the last 2 months, going through these verses and going through these things, seeing what God is speaking to our lives and our heart about this life that we have, and asking the question today, am I welcoming this word of God? Am I welcoming, inviting it into my life? And as you recall, these three chapters that we're going to look at, if you'll recall that the main theme here is Christian liberty. Interesting that we just looked at James, where if we look intently into the perfect law of God, the law of liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ, the law of liberty, that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been set free from sin, set free from being a slave to sin, been set free from making this world about me, about selfishness and self-focus and self-grandizement and self-exaltation. God set me free from me. Brought me and reconciled me back to himself, and now I am free to serve and live for the true and living God, to choose to live for Christ, to choose to live for his glory. I couldn't that before. That's what we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 10, that which Christian liberty is talking about, our freedom in Christ to choose how we live and what we live for. And in our salvation, I told you that we've been set free from all of this. Paul in Galatians 5, we looked at that a few times, said it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Think about that for a moment. It was for freedom that he set you free. What freedom? Freedom to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Before, you were not free to live for God. You lived for yourself. And God reconciled you, brought you back. You're a child of God, his beloved child, and he set you free for his child to live in reflective of what God has done his father in his life. We've been set free. We're fighting that sin. We have to fight that flesh, or we're battling it, but we've been set free. And Paul said, don't submit yourself again to the yoke of slavery. Don't become a slave to works mentality. Don't become a slave to that you have to do all this works for God to be on your side, that kind of thing, and then don't use your freedom to serve your flesh, to serve yourself. And so that's where we were ended up in chapters 8 through 10 in 1 Corinthians, this idea, this theme of Christian liberty. These chapters are all about that. That's what they're about. In our freedom, we choose, this is the what we're going to look at today, we choose to build one another up, chapter 8. In our freedom, we choose to love the lost, chapter 9. In our freedom, we choose to worship God, chapter 10. And again, we're reviewing, looking and saying, are we welcoming this word of God? So are we welcoming the word of 1 Corinthians chapter 8? We choose to build up one another. You know, that's a daily thing. Would I get an amen on that one? Is that a daily thing to build one another up? To be edifying, to build each other up, daily choice, to grow in your relationship with the Lord? To grow in your faith in the Lord, you need to welcome God's word. Amen? Absolutely, right? Let me say it again. To grow in your relationship with the Lord and to grow in your faith, do you need to welcome God's word into your life? Sure you do. You need to welcome. And God's word says here in the text that we're looking at, chapter 8, you need to be concerned for others and their walk with the Lord. That whole principle and through the Bible. You need to consider others more important than yourselves. Here's a very practical, very basic principle of Christianity. For you to grow in your relationship with the Lord and in your faith and to honor God and to move down this journey with the Lord, you're going to have to get over yourself. Isn't that most of the Bible? You got to consider, you know what? It's the world isn't about Ken. I got to get over that. How about you? Now, I know none of you think the world's about Ken, okay? You think that's what he was talking about here in our Christian freedom. We got to see it in a different way. You need to be concerned about others and their walk with the Lord. Let me ask you, what parent here hasn't grown tremendously as you have given yourselves to build your children up in their faith? What parent here hasn't grown? That has looked at their life and say, boy, we got to get rid of that habit. Look, that one is reflecting me. Every time she walks around the house, she stomps her foot and she got the attitude. It looks like mom. And so then the God says, yeah, they're reflective of you. You want to pour your life into them for them to see Christ and walk with the Lord. You're going to have to deal with your heart because they're going to walk around with that little attitude you got. Or the words out of your mouth. How many dads you get confronted by that little one running around and said the same thing you said? And then in your heart, like, ooh, man, you know, Lord is showing me something right in here. I got to care about others. I got the freedom to do some things in my life. You have the freedom to do things in your life. But we look at our life and care about others. That was the whole what chapter 8 was about when we were looking at it. I need to consider others more important than me. I need to get over myself, that this life is about me. When I do, I really grow. That's God's design for us, to choose to build up one another. Look at verses 1 through 3 in chapter 8. Look what he said. Now, concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God, by him. Now, remember when we talked about that? Let me ask you, do you love God? Do you love God? If you love God, you love others over yourself, because God put it in you. He put it in you. He gave it to you, 1 Peter 1:22. He put it in you, the love of God. He gave you it to you. 1 John, we can go through all that. Who doesn't love his brother is not of God. And so this inherently in us, the power of God, supernatural power of God, this change, transform life of God in our life is that we have this love in us to put others over ourselves and love them. Make choices to love them. Listen, love edifies. You are here to build up one another in the faith, to care about each other's walk in the Lord. Salvation brought a real love for others in God's love. You really work to grow others, and your love grows and your faith grows. That's the way it works. That's the way God has it. Like I said, you always have to battle your flesh, but you choose to build up one another. Love does. That's what he's talking about here. Love edifies. It builds up one another. It makes choices to do so. It makes choices not to cause a brother or sister to stumble. Look at verse 9. But take care of this liberty of yours. This freedom that we have in Christ, make choices that we make. They don't dishonor God's word, but we have the freedom to do these things. I can't get into everything and what that is. But he says, take care of this liberty of yours. Does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. You choose to be not a stumbling block to others. You see, seeing others more important than yourself, in that verse, recognizes that even in this freedom, I'm going to make a choice not to cause my brother to stumble, because love edifies, because love builds up. That's welcoming God's truth, welcoming God's word, welcoming God's way. And in that, you'll surely be blessed in your doing. That's what God said in James. Well, yeah, that's juxtaposed totally against what I have to battle in my life. That it's about what I get or what I get, you know, what happens to me. But that would be God's way. That was Christ's way. When you make a choice to do or not to do something because it may cause my brother to stumble, your focus is on building up one another, and that's God's desire for you to be blessed in your doing. God acknowledges that, works in your life, grows your faith. Paul goes on and shares this Christian liberty principle in chapter 9. Look at it with me. Now, this is review again, and we're looking at it and asking ourselves, am I welcoming this word? Chapter 9, in your freedom, you choose to love the lost. Now, when we looked at all of this chapter, all of chapter 9 is Paul's testimony to that choice. Verse 23, he says it this way. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become fellow partaker of it. He says, I do all things. I make all these choices, is what he's talking about, for the sake of the gospel being seen, heard, and received. These choices in his life that he's making on the freedoms that he has, the rights that he has, the things that he can do, the things he doesn't want to do. He's making all of these choices, and he's basing it upon a love for the lost. He's making these choices that I want the world to see, to know, to hear of Christ Jesus, and for them to be saved. And it was his choice. And so what God is talking to us about in our freedom, we choose to love the lost. You choose to love the lost. That's what he's talking about. Verses 1 through 12 are all about Paul laying down his rights, the God-given rights he has as an apostle, the God-given rights he has as a pastor, the God-given rights he has as a human being. Paul lays them down. He says, for the sake of the goodness or the good news of Jesus Christ being seen, heard, and believed, and believed, I choose to love the lost and not exercise my rights before the unbelieving world. Love is a choice. He has these rights that he has as an apostle, as a human being. The illustration is he's a pastor. He has the right to be supported financially as he serves and ministers to the church. And he says, we're not going to do that. I don't want the world to see in the beginning of Christianity here thinking that what I'm doing is about so I'll be supported in what I want to do in living. I don't want to make it about that. I'll lay down that right. Well, how about me and you in the life that we have on making choices in our choices, daily choices, on the things that are our rights that we have the freedom to do, making a choice to set them aside for others to know Jesus Christ. Like he made all these choices. Look at verse 12. He didn't want to be a hindrance to the gospel. Listen to what he said in verse 12. Look at it with me. He said this, if others share in the right over you, do not we the more. Okay, here's what he says. Nevertheless, we do not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. What an incredible statement. Choosing to love those who need Jesus Christ, choosing to cause no hindrance to the gospel, that's the best choice. Think of it this way, day in and day out. Day in and day out in the choices you're making, asking yourself, is what I'm doing obstructing people from seeing the truth of Jesus Christ? I asked myself that question this week. Is what I'm doing in the choices that I have, even freedoms that I have, in the choices that I'm making, are they obstructing people from seeing the truth of Jesus Christ? It'll alter your living. You see, living to win the lost is a choice. God calls us to. He tells us the purpose of the church. He's given us the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. He's given you the testimony in your life. He's given you the Holy Spirit to guide and lead your life, for you can be living a testimony of Christ. He's given you his word for the ways of that. He's given you his word about the gospel that you can share, that God will use to pierce someone's heart. But you choose. He gave you the freedom to choose whether your spiritual attitude is to be a hearer or a doer. Paul said in verses 19 through 23, I make these choices. Listen to what he said. So that I may win the more, so that I may win the Jew, so I may win the Gentile, I may win the weak, that I may by all means save some. What an encouragement, right? that we can make choices that God would use us in our life to win this, the Jew, the Gentile, the weak, the poor, and by all means save some. In fact, Paul said in verses 24 through 27 that he disciplines his body to make it his slave. Put it this way, he fights his selfishness, his self-focus, his worlds about himself, that he has to have, that he needs this, or this is the way it is. He fights that, disciplines his body so he doesn't live for that, so he won't be disqualified from being a testimony to those who need Christ. All because of chapter 10. Look at it with me. Because we choose to worship God. We choose to worship God. In our Christian liberty, that's what Paul was talking about in chapter 10. The whole illustration of the people of Israel and their failure to put God first in their life, they chose to serve themselves, to worship their wants, to see God as the one who fulfills their wants. We went over that. That whole illustration in there. That whole thing about idolatry, the whole thing about all that went on, that God wasn't well pleased with them, was their choosing to worship self before they not put God first. And remember what we talked about then? You know, all of us are tempted to do that. Look at verse 13. That was the conclusion to it. Humanity is tempted with that. Saved and the unsaved. You come to Christ, you have this new life in Christ, you have this spirit of that's in union with God, your life is in union with Christ. You now can see the truth of God's word. You can walk with the Lord. You have new birth, your new creation, regenerated, born again. Heaven's yours. Promises are yours. You still battle. You're still tempted. All of us are tempted that this world is about us, that it's about me, that it's about my family, about my kids, about my church, about my job, about my career, about my... This world isn't about this church. This life, this existence isn't about us in Porterville. What happens here today, what happens here tomorrow, isn't about you, me, our kids, our family. It's about Christ. And we're his church. We're his family, the body of Christ, to be representative of him. Yes, we have all the things in our life. God has blessed us with all these things. I want to put it down like, oh, I don't have to care about my family and my home anymore, because life isn't about any of those things. Yes, they're enveloped in the purposes of God. They're enveloped in what God is doing, but we're all tempted to think that that's what life's about. And look what he said in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape, so you'll always be able to endure it. That's real. That's happening in life. That's going on in life. Humanity, all of it, saved, lost, are all tempted to make it about ourselves. In Christ, you are able to choose the way out. In Christ, you're able to endure the trials of this life. In Christ, you're able to repel the temptation that tempts you not to worship God in all your actions. That's what he's getting to here. Because every time I stumble, every time that happens in my life, in your life, I'm tempted not to worship God with my life. Am I alone? But God says, I provide every way of escape out for life not to be about you falling and giving into that temptation, because life is about worshiping God. Look at Israel. The whole thing is about avoiding their mistakes. We choose to flee idolatry is what he says next, 14 through 7, or 17. We choose to run from self-focus, from self-exaltation. We share in the life of Christ. We can't go over all of that in verse 16 and 17. We are communion with him. We are together with him. All of us are. All of us together. We share in the salvation and the new life of the Lord. And Christ didn't make it about him. He made it about others. You know, it's so helpful in the family of God to be together in the family of God that believe and trust and are walking that this is the way of Christ and living for Him? Don't get down today or don't get discouraged. If God's speaking to your heart, respond, you know, and be encouraged and go forward. But, you know, we're a family of God where God's at work in this. Certainly in each and every one of us, God is speaking to our heart and guiding us and has been. And we are working these things out. We're focusing. Look at the service that went on last weekend. Look at the men's retreat that went on. Look at the things that go on here in Awana and those kind of things. These aren't works of duty. These aren't things, I'm trying to mark up some good things with God. This is God in our hearts working within the body of Christ on us, having the spiritual attitude of wanting to welcome God's word. You guys understand, I always preach better than I live, right? Because this is saying it perfectly. Right, Tom? See, I got affirmation there, okay? You know, but I'm working on this, so are you. We're living this way. This is what God, in our Christian liberty, in our freedom in Christ, we choose to worship God and do all to the glory of God. 31 through 33, look at it with me. Chapter 10, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jew or to Greeks or to the church of God. You see in that verse 32 there that, hey, we're not to be offensive to each other, be considering others, just as I also please all men, verse 33, in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. You see the love for the lost right in that verse. So God says, I'm doing all of this, whatever I choose, on my choices, in my Christian liberty, to apply your word, to live by the word of God, to follow God, to make the choice to not cause my brother and sister to stumble. I will, forgive me, I'll confess and repent. To love the lost, I don't all the time, but God is working in me for me to lay down things, to be a testimony of Him, to worship God. I'm growing in my relationship with Him, to worship Him and do all to give glory, to give recognition, to give acknowledgement to the character and nature of God and His transforming power in my life. I'm still at work in that journey. And that's where He's headed in our lives. But you see the spiritual attitude, I'm welcoming that. That's what God's been talking about. That's the spiritual attitude God is working in me and working in you. So turn back to James 1:25. And we'll close with this. You guys might want to, just mark this day down in infamy because Pastor Ken's going to finish early. Do you guys remember that day? Yeah, that was 11 years ago. It's going to be 11 years from now. Yeah, that one day he finished early. Yeah, okay. I'm sure glad you guys love me. Conclude with this. Look at verse 25. We read it, but look what he says. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Listen to it in a different translation, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, it's New Living Translation, that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You know, some of us here struggle today on following the Lord and being obedient and having the right attitude and applying God's word in his life. That's a reality, right, church? We know people in our lives. We know friends, family. We know people, extended family to us. We know people here, and we pray for them and asking God for them, God to work in their lives. Can I just say something to you today? Give up. How can your way ever come close to His? How can your choices and your wisdom and your understanding and your thoughts and you think that you're going to make it happen ever come close to the living God, the one that we worship? He just says, hey, have you looked at me and the freedom that I've given you by the power of God's word to pierce you with the truth of Christ? I can transform everything of your life. He just says, abide what you're hearing. You're never going to know it all. He just says, abide in what I'm talking to you about. That man, that family, that marriage, that home, that church, those people will be blessed in what they do. Anybody want the Lord's blessing in their life? He doesn't say the life will be all a blessing. He doesn't say you won't have hard things and there won't be trials and you won't lose a baby. He says that God will be with you and bless you in all you're doing. We'll close with this. This year's men's retreat, I'll give you a little testimony to them this year. And this is how we'll close the service. Young men, medium men, what do we call you, middle-aged men? I don't know, I'm right in there. We had some older men. We're there at boot camp last week. And as I was going through the message and looking at the exhortation and looking at what is the Christian liberty and the choices to love others and to love the lost and to worship God, I was overwhelmed by the testimony of the men that were there at the boot camp. Now, I've been to many of them, and it's the men, it's their attitude, it's their spiritual attitude, but I just was overwhelmed in the sense of just the heart of the guys that were there that had these principles of digging into God's Word, was challenging this year, some things they've never been asked to do. Hey, we're going to share some Word, and then you guys teach it. We thought they would run, but they dug in, and they wanted to learn, and they asked, and they stepped up, and they went forward, and they shared what God was showing them. A couple of the young men did the praise that have never done the praise before, and I'm not lifting up people. I'm recognizing and displaying and talking to you about a spiritual attitude of God's Word and serving others and loving others. Truly, we will be blessed in our doing, and I just wanted to say to you guys, I'll go to battle with any of you. I've seen your fight. I've seen your heart and your desire to fight for the truths of God and His Word and His way in life. I've seen you fight your own flesh. As a pastor in the body of Christ, I couldn't be any more overwhelmed, and if you want to say proud and thankful for what God is doing in the men. Tom will fight for them for the Lord's glory every step of the way. Amen. It's such a blessing to be a part of a body of Christ that welcomes God's truth into their living. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way you've focused us these last 3 weeks. It surely has been you, Lord, to put this on my heart and to bring forth James and the Word here and the exhortations out of it, and then to look back and to review 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 10, your Word there, Lord, and bring out the main principles, the main teachings through them all, where your exhortation has always been, Lord, for us to just really welcome you into our life. To really be receptive, Lord. I know that's a battle for many of us on many occasions and in many different areas of life. And Father, I'd pray for us in the body of Christ here, Lord, that you would work in our heart and mind. And what else could we ask for from our children and then a willing heart to follow the Lord? We pray for that all the time. We pray for this church that we would have a willingness to want what you want in our life, to live for what you want us to live in our life, to have a spiritual attitude of that desire to welcome your truths into our heart and life. And thank you, for you, Lord, that you work in our hearts, that we're not judgmental. None of us are higher than any one of us. You can be way down the road with the Lord and you're compared to someone else, but you were all walking the same road. It's a journey together. No one's higher than any other one, or no one's lower, Lord. We're just where we are, and thank you for putting that in our life. I thank you for the day that you've given. You've made it. We rejoice in it. I thank you for the family of God that we're a part of. I thank you for your work in our lives up to this moment, and I pray that we would continually go forward and be a testimony of you, embracing what you have for us, whatever it might be in this world. Help us to love each other and love the lost and worship you in the priority of our life. In Christ we pray. Amen.